Well, normally you take your Bibles, but everything today is on your sheet. Every Bible verse is on the sheet. It's a topical message today, and I couldn't really find a passage that really suited. So it's all there on your sheet. We've been doing a series of messages on our home, and the title of this morning's message is A Better Way. Let's ask God's help. Father, we do desire to be better parents. Lord, I can think back and think of the mistakes I made as a parent. I pray for the young parents that are here, and it's a challenge to even think we just get into the rush and the routine of life. I pray, Lord, this morning as we think about our parenting, that we might be able to put things in place. But most of all, Lord, as our hearts are tended to you, I pray that we would be close, that we would be close to your heart, and that we might be able to teach our children to be close to your heart too. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It happened at an airport gate waiting for the boarding call. It happened between a travel-weary mother and her little daughter. Sadly, the little girl was demanding, irritable, and ill-tempered. The child whined and whined on, demanding this and demanding that, and absolutely refusing to be pacified. The mother tried to settle her. It didn't work. The child just would not be settled. And then it happened. Exasperated, her mother finally turned to her and she said, "I am sick of you. I hate you. Go away. Find someone else to yell at. I don't want you. I can't stand you. Get out of my sight." And with that, she picked up her things and she moved to another place in the waiting area. The little girl might have been able to hold out in normal circumstances, but in this strange airport, she was afraid. She moved toward her mother. "I'm sorry, Mummy. I love you. Go away. I don't know you. You must be somebody else's little daughter because you're not mine. I'm sorry, Mummy. Go away. I hate you." Viewed from one perspective, some might say this is successful parenting. The mother was confronted with a demanding and irritable child, and in the short space of a few minutes or even a minute, she was able to change her daughter's behavior to a compliant and humbled child. But was that good parenting? Wasn't the cure worse than the disease? Wouldn't this kind of rejection be damaging to the child? Of course. So then, we can see that short-term behavior change is not a good measure of parenting. The behavior change that we might be after is not necessarily a measure of good parenting. It's not enough to ask, does it work? We need to evaluate what else is this method of parenting teaching them. It's not enough to say, well, that's what my parents did, and I turned out okay. Well, we might argue how well you turned out. We need to evaluate our parenting methods, and we need to evaluate any parenting method that might be posed to us or passed on to us. Is it truly biblical? Is it producing a godly seed? Is it producing true godliness in the children? Now, so far in this series, we've discovered from the scripture that parents have the authority, but they have that authority from God, and God sees how we're exercising our authority as parents. Second, we took a hard look at the heart, noting that the behavior and words in our lives and the lives of our children flow out from the heart. And we saw that our hearts, the hearts of children, tend toward foolishness, and therefore the heart needs correction. We might ask, what kind of correction? Third, we saw that the circumstances of life can shape our children, but their reactions to the circumstances of life are far more important than the circumstances themselves. And the most important shaping factor in any child's life are their parents. We need to teach them to look to God in the circumstances of life and understand what God might be doing. And the last time we observed that both we and our children have hearts that are made to worship. And the default setting is idolatry. We tend to worship idols in our hearts, some substitute for God. So we deliberately need to lead our children in the worship of God. Now, if you've missed any of that, please make use of the website. Today we build on that. We build on what has gone before to evaluate various parenting methods. Today we consider two steps for better parenting. The first step for better parenting is discard unbiblical methods. We've got to get rid of the unbiblical methods. To discard unbiblical methods, we need to know, obviously, what the Bible says. The Bible deals with behavior, sure, but when the Bible deals with behavior, it always deals with the behavior in connection with the heart. Our children's behavior can be in our face, like the little girl at the airport. And so we tend to focus on the behavior. Indeed, many of the parenting manuals and parenting advice we get focus on behavior. We want behavior to change. We want the children to stop fighting and start sharing their toys, for example. So we go after behavior. But the Bible deals with behavior only in connection with the heart. Let me give you some evidence for that. First, consider the Ten Commandments. They're to a large degree about the behavior, but did you realize that the first and the last, as bookends, as it were, to the Ten Commandments, deal with the heart? Exodus 20 and verse 3 says, "You shall have no other gods before me." And the last command, Exodus 20 and verse 17, "You shall not covet." So both the worship of God and the idolatry of covetousness are heart issues. They deal, first and last commandments deal with the heart. Second piece of evidence. Consider the two most important commandments. What are they? Well, Jesus answered that in Mark chapter 12 and verse 29. Jesus answered him, the first of the commandments is, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind and all your strength." This is the first commandment. And the second like it is this: "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." There is no other commandment greater than these. And isn't love a heart issue, primarily, first of all, with the heart? So yes, God is certainly concerned with behavior, but only in connection with the heart. Third piece of evidence. Consider the biblical evidence on the heart. We know that man looks on the outward appearance. We sang that song this morning. But God looks on the heart. So then, God knows when our heart is divided. He knows that when we're trying to look for comfort in something else other than in Him. And therefore, God said in Ezekiel chapter 14 and verse 3, through the prophet of Ezekiel, to the leaders of Israel, He said, "Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their hearts." So clearly an idol does not have to be a statue, a physical thing. Many things that we love and find comfort in are in a heart issue. He says, "These have set up idols in their hearts and put before them that which causes them to stumble into iniquity," these idols. "Should I let myself be inquired of at all by them?" I mean, if a person is in idolatry, should that person go to God? And even though we're Christians, we can very easily slip into idolatry and love something instead of God. And verse 7 of the same chapter continues, For anyone of the house of Israel, or the strangers who dwell in Israel, who separates himself from me and sets up an idol in his heart." Hear that. If we set up an idol in our heart, we've separated ourselves from God. We've rejected God at that point. He says, "Who separates himself from me and sets up an idol in his heart and puts before him what causes him to stumble into iniquity, then comes to him a prophet to inquire of him concerning me, I, the Lord, will answer him by myself." And how will God answer? The next verse says, "I will set my face against that man and make him a sign and a proverb, and I will cut him off from the midst of my people. Then you shall know that I am the Lord." If your love has been pulled to something else other than God, than the living God, you have rejected God at that point. Passively perhaps, but you have rejected Him. And God therefore rejects you until the point, rejects me until the point that we repent. Idolatry is that important. Therefore, God commands us, his people, through the prophet Joel, in Joel chapter 2 and verse 13. So rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and he relents from doing harm. God wants us to repent if we've got anything in our hearts other than our love for him. Get our hearts right, and our lives will be right. Our hearts should be for the Lord alone. This is where parenting begins. But of course, for those who are not parenting right now, this is much wider than parenting. Our hearts are for God alone. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23 says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. And the word spring there is a wellspring, an artesian bore is flowing out of our hearts. What we say and what we do is coming from our hearts. Get our hearts right and our lives will be right. Remember that God is watching. He sees right into the heart. 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 9 says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. In this you have done foolishly, therefore from now on you shall have wars. God sees when our heart is not loyal to him. So we need to get our hearts right to be good parents. And then we need to help our children to get their hearts right. And the right behavior will flow from the right heart. Matthew 23 and verse 6 says, blind Pharisee, first cleanse the inside of the cup and dish, that the outside of them may be clean also. Get your heart right, everything else will flow from that. Ezekiel says in Ezekiel 36:25, then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I'll take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. See what happens when we have the right heart. He says, I will cause you to walk in my statutes and you will keep my judgments and do them. Now, all these verses that we've been through, and they're on your sheet to take home, these verses are the basis. They're a foundation for good parenting. Whilst behavior can be in our face, we're dealing with more than behavior. We are shaping and shepherding our children's hearts. So here comes the important statement. Therefore, behavior change, behavior modification is superficial parenting. Behavior change, behavior modification is superficial parenting. Not that it is entirely wrong, it just doesn't go deep enough. Let me summarize the biblical data that we've looked at this morning. Ungodly attitudes in our heart or in our children's heart leads to ungodly behavior. Godly attitudes in our heart or our children's heart will lead to godly behavior. So now we can start to evaluate unbiblical parenting. Let's take an example. One dad got sick of his kids fighting. He wanted to teach his children to share, and so he and his wife devised a plan. The plan went like this. Each time the children shared, they would get their name put in a jar. Every time they didn't share, they'd get their name taken out of the jar. And at the end of the week, the parents would choose a name out of the jar, and that child would get a store-bought prize. Now, kids aren't dumb. They realized the more they got their names into the jar, the more chance they had of getting the store-bought prize at the end of the week. So they wanted to get their names in the jar as much as possible. Do they want to share? Not really, but they do want that store-bought prize at the end of the week. Has their heart changed? No. Has their behavior changed? Yes, it has. Well, at least when mum and dad are around to see. Can you see how this tends to produce whited sepulchres that are full of dead men's bones? The behavior may be right and beautiful outwardly, but inside there's been no change of heart. There's still a deadness that is there. can you see that this child may appear beautiful outwardly, but the heart can be far from God? Isn't this like hanging good mandarins on a bad tree? Remember the story about our mandarin tree at home? It hasn't produced any good mandarins yet. I could take all those bad mandarins off, get Nolene's fruit bowl, and start hanging good mandarins on. I'd have good fruit, but it hasn't changed the tree. Shouldn't we be concerned about the root and not just the fruit? Well, sure. So I now hope we're in a position to reject superficial parenting. So let's consider some different parenting methods in application and let's review them. First of all, rewards. Rewards. The prize that these parent with the jar and the kids fighting, the prize that they offered at the end of the week is one example of a reward system. Rewards alone can modify behavior, but they cannot modify the heart. They do not change the heart. Does God use rewards? Absolutely, God uses rewards. And God not only uses the rewards, but he sees the heart so that his rewards are entirely just. There is no reward if we do the right thing. There's no reward from God if we do the right thing for the wrong reason. Our motives are wrong. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 13 talks about rewards. It says, "Each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work on which he has built on it endures, on the foundation of Christ, if the work which he has built on the foundation of Christ endures, he will receive a reward." So God does give rewards. So unlike Ted Tripp, I am not against rewards, but any reward system has to be carefully coupled with biblical teaching. We are after kindness and generous hearts, not just some outward show of sharing, right? So we can say to our kids, only the Lord Jesus can help you to be this kind of child, whatever behavior it is you're after. Only the Lord Jesus can help you to be this kind of boy or girl. Jesus knows your heart and he knows whether you really want to share or whether you don't. And when they have trouble sharing, we can say, well, Jesus can help you with this. You need to know Jesus as your Savior. And so dealing with the heart enables us to start to approach the gospel. Some have called rewards bribery. A bribery system is definitely wrong. If you're giving a reward to just bribe your children into the right behavior, that is wrong. It teaches superficial behavior change, and it teaches covetousness, wanting things. But simple rewards combined with biblical teaching are entirely biblical. That's what God does with us. Okay, a second parenting method to evaluate is playing with emotions. And perhaps because I used the word playing, you might guess what direction I'm going here. Playing with emotions. And I'm going to take three different examples of playing with emotions. First of all, the child's fear of rejection, the child's fear of desertion. This is what the mother at the airport was doing. She was playing on that fear of rejection. The method controlled the child's behavior, but can you see that that kind of methodology also damages the mother-daughter, as it was in that case, the mother-daughter relationship? It is not easy to recover from such hurtful kind of rejection. Similarly, another family would sit the offending child on a chair in the middle of the room, and everyone would ignore them. No one would talk to them while they were on that particular chair. This is exactly the same method that the cults use to deal with someone. They use that shunning behavior and they won't talk and they won't have any contact. And this is emotionally hurtful. You wouldn't be surprised that children treated in this way would distance themselves emotionally from their parents. Such methods destroy love. A second example of playing with emotions is shaming. A child may be consistently shamed about their behavior. And one example of that would be reputation. Perhaps you're saying to a daughter, continually reminding her that she's spoiling her father's reputation as a community leader. And this teaches the child to look for the approval of people rather than seeking to please God. We must not be teaching our children to look for the approval of people. We must be teaching them to please God. If the constant concern is how we appear to the church or how we appear to others, that is not a biblical method of parenting. Or a parent may threaten to send the toys of fighting children off to the children in Mali. You know, they've lost everything. Well, having lived in a country like Mali, I know the children in Mali fight about their toys too. They'll fight about a stick. If someone has a stick and everyone else wants that stick, they'll fight about that. So those kind of emotional appeals to children can be damaging. A third example is anger. Anger may seem to get results, but we get results by causing the children to fear. James tells us in James chapter 1 and verse 20, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Our anger is not going to produce godly seed. The wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Children, a couple of things there. Children are going to learn anger for a start, that you deal with situations by reacting in anger. Proverbs 22 and verse 24 says, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man do not go. Why? Lest you learn his ways. Anger is learned behavior. Now, okay, it's there, probably in the flesh, in all of us, but as a way of reacting, it is learned from those around us. A third parenting method that we want to evaluate today is lashing out. Lashing out. Anger falls into another category when that anger becomes physical. Now, whether the uncontrolled anger is physical or not, that's abuse. When it's uncontrolled anger, that has already fallen into the category of abuse. Smacking is biblical, and we're going to spend at least one message on smacking. Smacking is biblical, but if a frustrated parent uses smacking, that is not going to be the biblical rod. That is going to be abuse. The biblical rod is very different from the abuse that sometimes is meted out in smacking. We're going to be talking more about the biblical use of rod, but we're not going to have time for that today. I just want making the point that reacting in anger is not going to produce God's righteousness in that child. In fact, they're probably going to learn anger from that. Angry parents can get back at their kids in other ways, which may include grounding and timeouts. I've actually been shocked to hear that parents stop their children going to Awana as a form of punishment. Come on, Awana's going to help them be more godly. We want to get them to church. We want to get them to Sunday school and Awana. Now, timeouts can be helpful if combined with biblical discipline. Psalm 46 and verse 10 says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted on the earth. So there is certainly a time to be still and recognize that God is there, God is watching, God is seeing what I'm doing, and that God is in control. Sometimes we do need to sit quietly and consider our actions before a God who looks at the heart. Further, 1 Corinthians 11:28 says, but let a man examine himself. And Galatians 6:4, let each one examine his own work. And children can be taught to do this. They can be taught to take a time out and think about what they're doing. Is what I'm doing pleasing God or pleasing self? They can see that. They can know that. Now, therefore, in regarding to the grounding and the time out, the motivation of the parent is important. Are they lashing out because they are frustrated, like it's a rejection? Okay, over the corner for 10 minutes because you're sick of them and you just don't want anything to do with them for that period of time. Or is that time out there really there to correct the child, to help them to examine themselves and realize what they've been doing? Can you see, therefore, that these alternative forms of parenting can carry baggage with them? Let me summarize some of that baggage for you. Bribery can promote a child's greed. Shaming will cause children to look for the approval of men rather than pleasing God. Punishment in anger from a parent is just going to cause pain avoidance out of fear on the one hand, and on the second hand is going to teach anger to the situations of life on the other. Rejection destroys love in the family, and so on. So these alternative methods of parenting might seem to affect behavior change, but they have negative effects on the heart at the same time. So are you ready for a better way? The second step for better parenting is commit yourself to biblical parenting. Commit yourself to biblical parenting. Now, I'm going to leave you hanging a bit today because we're only going to be able to get a little way on this. But I do want you to leave here determined to find and live out biblical parenting. We can be the right kind of parents when we're the right kind of people. When we're the right kind of people, we can help our children to be the right kind of children. So first we get it right ourselves, and then we help our children to get it right. I always have in the back of my mind that illustration I've repeated many times. When the plane gets into trouble, the oxygen comes down from the bulkhead. You're instructed to put it on yourself first and then anyone else around you. First we get it right in our lives, then we're able to help our children to get it right. So number one, the key word here is pray. First we pray for ourselves and then we teach our children how to pray. What do we pray? Well, that's where Psalm 139 comes in. It says, and this is what we pray, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties and see if there is any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Lord, show me. Please show me if there's any sin in my life. Show me if there's things that I need to get right. This ought to be our constant daily heart cry. For when our hearts are right, then our parenting will be right. We'll be able to help our children to be right. It's a great prayer, therefore, not only to pray for ourselves, Lord, show us where I've got things wrong, but to teach our children to ask God, Lord, show me where I've got it wrong. We ought to be teaching them to examine themselves and ask God's help. Number two, the key word here is read. First, we read God's word for ourselves to find out our heart issues. And then we look into the Word of God to help our children find out their heart issues. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 says, for the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing in even to the division of soul and spirit and joints and marrow. And listen, is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. One of the reasons God has given us His Word is so that we might know our own hearts, that it might be a mirror reflecting ourselves, reflecting back to us. So pray first of all that God will show us where we're wrong, and then read the Bible to see where our hearts might be wrong. The Bible is the scalpel that dissects out the issues of the heart. Once we understand our own heart issues, then we're able to help children with their heart issues. Number three, first, with a tender and broken heart, we make our full commitment to God, and then we teach our children with a full and broken heart to make their commitment to God. This is what David did with Solomon. Have a listen to 1 Chronicles chapter 28 and verse 9. As for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father and serve him with a loyal heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the intent of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. Isn't that great advice? Don't you want to read that over? First of all, why don't you underline the words know and serve and loyal heart and willing mind. First, my son, know God. Trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. We want to get children to that point because they have the Savior to help them to live out the Christian life. Trust Christ as your Savior. Draw close to Him. Make the Lord Jesus the love of your life. Desire to know Him with all passion. As Paul said in Philippians 3:10, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death. Then secondly, David says to Solomon, my son, serve God, obey Him, Please him in whatever you do and whatever you say. Make it your desire to please God. Have right behavior. But notice the source of that right behavior. Verse 9 says, let's pick it up halfway through, and serve him with a loyal heart and with a willing mind. How do you serve, obey, follow? With a loyal heart and with a willing mind. Loyal there means full heart, perfect heart, wholeheartedly. Serve him wholeheartedly. And the word willing means with delight, with joy. Serve God as a joy in your heart. It's not a duty. It's a joy to serve the living God. We model that and we teach that to our children. This is a joy. Why? Verse 9 continues, for the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the intent of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. It amounts to he will cast you off forever. Let me summarize. We pray to know our own hearts. Lord, search my heart. Show me where I fail. We read the word of God so that it would reveal those areas in our lives where we are failing. And then with a tender heart, with a broken heart, we come to him and we make a full commitment to him, and we teach our children to do the same. So let me also summarize the kind of things when we go to the Word of God, that scalpel that dissects out the thoughts and intents of the heart. Let me summarize some of the kind of things, and there's hundreds of these if we were to go through the scripture, the kind of things that the Bible will reveal about our hearts. The Bible may variously reveal our hearts as proud and rebellious, envious and covetous, controlling, power hungry, fearing men, seeking approval of men, selfish, pleasure seeking, anxious and angry. These are the kind of hearts we have. And we can expect our children to have those kind of hearts too, especially the selfish part, as we see them interacting with other children. We can expect that in our children, and we teach them to have the right heart. And having the right heart will lead to godly behavior. A couple of times back, I told you about a boy who was sent to the principal's office. Well, he was a wise principal, and the way that he dealt with those two boys who had been fighting is kind of a model for us. So let me tell you about it. The principal read Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23, which is on the first side of your sheet. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. He read that verse. The heart is this artesian bore pouring out words and deeds. So he drew a heart on a piece of paper. He drew an arrow from the heart, and at the bottom of the arrow he wrote the words, what we say and what we do. What we say and what we do flows out of the heart. After drawing the diagram, the principal said to the first boy, help me understand this fight. And this first boy explained that there was an in crowd in his year, as there normally is. And he was not part of the in crowd. And the boy that he fought with was not part of the in crowd. But he was closer to being part of the in crowd than the other boy. Well, the other boy tried to jump queue. I don't know what the particular incident was, but he tried to jump queue and be part of that in crowd, so the fight was on. The principal asked, so what was coming out of your heart? And the boy said, now it was a Christian school, he would have heard Christian teaching, but he said, love of self, pride, and selfishness. Wow. We can understand, and children can understand, what's coming out of their hearts. He already knew the biblical categories, and he could see what was in his own heart. The principal was able to say, there's great hope for you. And he was able to tell him about the Lord Jesus, and that he had died for him, that he could come to him, and Jesus could help him to deal with those things that he mentioned, love of self, pride, and selfishness. It's a good way to go, isn't it? As we deal with the heart, it leads us to the gospel, you see. When the principal came to the second boy, the rank outsider, he already had a good understanding of where that boy, he was the little chicken in the crowd. He was the rejected boy of the year. So the principal took him to Isaiah 53. And he said, There's someone who understands your situation. And he was able to show that boy that Jesus was rejected of men. And Jesus understood his situation. And he could trust the Lord Jesus to help him. So when we start dealing with the matters of the heart, we're really able to help our children. When we get to the heart issues, we can start to point to Christ. And that makes a difference. We're not just dealing with the outward behavior. We're dealing and shepherding the heart. So I'd like to see us committed to biblical parenting. As we look at this more closely over the next 2 or 3 weeks, I think there's 2 or 3 weeks, and then we take a break from the parenting series and look at evangelism for a while. But over the next 2 or 3 weeks, we'll look a bit more at biblical parenting. Would you commit yourself to being a biblical parent? Or if you're a grandparent here, to helping your children to be biblical parents. We should understand the heart, first of all. First ourselves, then our kids. We need our hearts cleansed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're here today without the Lord Jesus, you need him. He can help you to live right, life right. He can help you to have peace and joy in your heart, but you must come to him and be cleansed by his blood. And then with full hearts, we make a total commitment to the Lord. Lord, I'm yours. I'm fully yours, and I want my children to be fully yours. We reject unbiblical parenting, for it is superficial. And it does not deal with the real issues of the heart. In summary, biblical parenting positively affects the heart and therefore positively affects behavior. Unbiblical parenting negatively affects the heart as it seeks to change behavior. And it may do very well in just making behavior change, but it has this negative effect on the heart at the same time. Let's pray. Would you talk to the Lord where you sit? Would you talk to the Lord about your own parenting? And Lord, seek the Lord's help to be all that he wants you to be in your home. Father, my cry when I heard this for the first time is, why haven't I heard this before? Why hasn't someone told me this before? It's all there in your word. Lord, thank you that we're hearing it now. And thank you that we can start getting things right now. And Lord, thank you that we can start shepherding a child's heart instead of just looking for outward behavior change. I pray, dear Heavenly Father, we would help all our children to know you, love you, worship you, follow you, and the behavior will flow from a good heart. We bless you, Lord. Thank you for helping us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.